Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, did you guys know that Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy has been fighting fires, that he has literally been taking back to the air as an aerial firefighter and been fighting fires again here in recent days? I think I might have mentioned it. Probably should make a bigger deal out of that. But anyway, isn't it interesting that do you see any of these TV stations out there with their TV cameras showing them getting the plane ready? Showing his beautiful family and kids and what he leaves behind as he goes out there on this dangerous mission to fight fires as an aerial firefighter. Do you see them, you know, maybe even trying to fly jump seats so they can get some video inside the cockpit while he dives down, scoops up the water, and then drops it right on top of the flames? Do they even tell you that he's up there fighting fires right now? Oh, but look at the way some of these guys already have been and will be groveling over John Tesser slobbing around with celebrities in Missoula. I mean, it's just absolutely pathetic. They do not want you to know what he is doing. They do not want you to know what Tim Sheehy is risking right now in the middle of the most important U.S. Senate race in the country, because they are that deep in the pockets of the Democrat Party. I saw Holly Michaels with the Lee Newspapers did this big story. Oh, John Tester answered questions from a YouTuber. Oh, well, good for him. Oh, for Pete's sake. Like, oh, so the Lee Newspapers can't ask tough questions of John Tester himself, apparently. So let's just be scribes of whatever some phony liberal YouTube celebrity is asking John Tester and his celebrity singers that are in Missoula this week. Just pathetic. No tough questions about his open borders policy positions. No questions about the fact that he claims he supports stuff in public, but then he's actually against it and votes against it. Hey, no tough questions for John Tester. It's just absolutely pathetic. But they do not want the people of Montana to see what Tim Sheehy has been doing. They don't want to see him, you know, serving as an aerial firefighter. Man, I've said this before, if Tim Sheehy was a Democrat, if he was the Democrat candidate, look at the way they were slobbering over this communist. Okay, this is the Trump war room uses this term for Tim Walz. They call him the communist slob, Tim Walz. But look at the way, you know, CNN and MSNBC and some of the local media here in Montana. Look at the way they slobber over the communist slob, Tim Walz. Who dodged a deployment to Iraq, and yet, don't show anybody, don't tell anybody about the fact that Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy has been risking his life here in recent days to continue serving to defend America, first as a Navy SEAL, who actually went to places like Iraq and Afghanistan, unlike communist slob Tim Walz, and they don't want to tell you how he continues to defend America right now. Hey, we got some good news, though. Seaborn Larson with the Lee Newspapers has a good report here. Great news once again coming out of the Gianforte administration here in Montana. I'll get to that next.
Securing America.
A pair of disturbing reports this week highlighting more problems with one of the issues polls show voters are most interested in. Illegal immigration. On Wednesday, a report from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General detailed problems with the Customs and Border Protection CB1 app, designed to be used by migrants to guide them through the immigration process. Those problems included security vulnerabilities that could make the app susceptible to cyber attacks. That followed a report released Tuesday from the same office that indicated that many of the 448,000 unaccompanied minors released into Health and Human Services and Homeland Security custody from 2019 to 2023 may be unaccounted for, that 32,000 failed to show up for immigration court hearings, and over 290,000 more were never even given hearings. The report states those minors may face increased risks of trafficking or forced labor. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to near 90 in the Billings area. Clear and quiet tonight. Lows from the mid-50s in Bozeman, about 60 in Billings. And the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine on the way to the upper 80s in Bozeman, with highs into the mid-90s in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh no, the pumpkin spice lattes are already back. That's one of the big stories as I was scrolling the headlines here. It's like, okay, I'll move on to another story. Pumpkin spice lattes. They're already here. I think I posted a story on our Montana Talks website. Somebody wrote a big piece in defense of the people who decorate early for the holidays. So all you early holiday decorators out there, somebody is rising to your defense as you've got your pumpkin spice lattes already in hand. All right, well, put it down for just a second here. This is good news. Let's get to some good news here. When you read some of the quotes here from the Democrat legislators, they're like, like you can tell they really don't like the fact that more of these prisoners are being put behind bars. But they know that they can't really tell you that. They know they can't really tell you that. Anyway, here's the headline. Seaborn Larson has a piece at the Helena IR. Montana quietly doubles inmate count in private Arizona prison. Now, this caught my eye, so I shared it via X earlier this morning. Let's see. I'll just go into what I said. I'll just give you my... Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's my initial reaction about 22 minutes ago. Great news. You got to put these criminals somewhere. Either build more prison space in Montana or send them elsewhere. Yeah, Montana quietly doubles inmate count in private Arizona prison. Last year, Montana contracted with Core Civic. For those of you who don't know, Core Civic is the same company that operates the corrections facility south of Shelby, just south of Shelby, Montana. And they've done a really good job there, by the way, and a nice employer for our friends in KSEN radio country there on the High Line. And so it's a good part of their economy there. But anyway, so. As you guys know, look, Montana continues to grow. Our population has grown like crazy, not just in the last 3 years, but even before that. But yet we haven't really grown our prison capacity. And look, as population grows, you just gotta know that, well, you're going to need more schools. You're going to need more sewers. You're going to need more water treatment plants. You're going to need more everything, right? You're also going to need more prison space. But these... But a lot of these liberal judges and these liberal legislators, they just want to put criminals back out on the streets. You know, they're at the beck and call of the ACLU, and they just want to put criminals back on the streets, kind of like Kamala Harris, who was raising bail money for the Minneapolis rioters to get them out of jail and put them right back out on the streets. That's what it's just embedded in their DNA as Democrats now, unfortunately. It's just a crazy new Democrat party. But I'm not going to let all the Republicans off the hook either. I think there's some Republicans over the years who have considered themselves fiscal hawks, and they think that they're saving money by not investing in corrections, and that's just absurd. Or they're the heartstrings conservatives, where somebody pulls on their heartstrings and they fall over, they just wilt right over. Okay, all right, okay. Oh, they say they're new. He says he's a new man. Okay, I'm gonna fall for it. And yeah, put the criminals back on the show. There's even some conservative judges who will fall for that, and they're well intentioned, but they think they're saving money. But they're not. And what they're doing is they're allowing these criminals to then cause more harm, potentially kill rape and steal even more. And so this is great news because look, like what the state of Montana did last year, they contracted with CoreCivic, as Seaborn Larson reports, to send 120 inmates to their Saguaro Correctional Center in Eloy, Arizona, in order to ease the overcrowding problem that we've got here in Montana. And so, you know, but of course, our population continues to grow, and then with crime, and we know crime has been just crazy because of the Mexican drug cartels that have been operating in the state, and drugs and more. That is the reason why so many of these, we need more space in our prisons here. So great news that they've now added more, been able to send more of these prisoners down to this CoreCivic facility. Because look, either we send them somewhere, now preferably it would be somewhere here, but if we don't have the space here, send them somewhere so that they're not back out on the streets creating more victims. Stephen Ballantyne, sounds like you've got another obvious question for us here. Steve, what's your thoughts?
Well, we're going to put them on an airplane or something and send them clear down to a private prison in Arizona. Why don't we just put them in a car and take them to the Hardin prison, especially the illegals? I mean, Aaron, we're spending money on these illegals. Well, why don't we just take and put these criminals and just do it in Hardin? Because I'm sure that jail's still empty, correct?
No, the BI. So the last time we talked about this, I forget who it was that we had on the program with us, but apparently the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, has a contract with the Hardin Correctional Facility out there. But your point is spot on, which is, we should have, from day one, when our friends in Hardin got that facility up and running, the state should have worked with them to get it up and running, right?
Right. And I'm sure there's space in there, so I guess we can house, we can't buddy up with the Bureau then and use it for other type of inmates.
Yeah, back in the day, and I know we're short on time hitting the break here, back in the day, under a previous Democrat governor, he had a philosophical opposition to private corrections facilities, so that's why he opposed it back then. Man, it's like Jurassic Park out there. Did you see the Montana delegates to the Democrat National Convention? They couldn't get inside on the first day because the protesters breached the big wall that they had set up for security. So they got stuck behind the gates with the very monsters they created. The protesters, the pro-Hamas protesters. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Check out all of our coverage. Go to MontanaTalks.com for full audio and more.
There's an issue. With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordlund. Well, in the overnight hours, Canada's two major freight railroads have ceased operations, locking out 9,000 Teamsters union members who operate the trains. This move announced by company management could significantly impact both Canadian and U.S. economies, particularly the agriculture economies of both nations. Leading up to the Canadian rail shutdown, U.S. agriculture and industry groups wrote letters to President Joe Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, saying that a rail strike or lockout would trigger harmful consequences for American and Canadian ag producers. One of the groups signing on to the letter included the American Farm Bureau Federation. Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch expands on U.S. exports to Canada last year.
We exported $28.2 billion of ag products into Canada, and that made Canada number three. In the same year, we imported $40 billion of Canadian agricultural products into the United States and import quite a bit of inputs such as fertilizer, and that makes them second, just behind Mexico. By value, most of the Canadian agricultural products do move by truck, but when we talk about cereal grains, corn, barley, oats, things like that, a lot of those products move on rail into Canada.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government rejected calls to intervene in the rail situation in Canada. Here in the United States, Union Pacific said the shutdown would sideline more than 2,500 rail cars a day.
Our three biggest pathways into Canada for railways, there's two in North Dakota and there's one in Detroit. So it as well impacts some of your heartland states, southern of upper Midwest. This will have a rippling effect across those states as well.
Munch added that some ag products loop through Canada and back down into the United States in both the Pacific Northwest and East Coast ports for exports overseas. Again, we'll continue to track the Canadian rail shutdown on the Western Ag Network.
Attention, pulse and oilseed crop producers.
Applying Sonalin 10G this fall can be an excellent option for control of broadleaf and grassy weeds in next year's crops. A fall application of Sonalin 10G allows great flexibility of planting options for lentils and garbanzo beans to label oiled seed crops, including camelina. Rotating to a Group 3 herbicide allows for extended residual weed control, including glyphosate, sulfonylurea resistant biotypes. Contact your local distributor to schedule your fall application of Sonalin 10G.
Always read and follow label directions.
From Gowan Company.
Thank you, Senators Tester, Grassley, and Rounds, for working across the aisle to support American ranchers and consumers by sponsoring the Bipartisan Meatpacking Special Investigator Act. This would provide the special investigator with the powers of the Department of Justice to enforce the Packer Stockyard Act. This is a Farmers Union Fairness for Farmer priority for both ranchers and families.
This week, the Environmental Protection Agency released its final herbicide strategy, a step they say that will protect over 900 federally endangered and threatened species from the impacts of herbicide. EPA said they'll use the strategy to identify measures to reduce the amount of herbicide exposure to these species when it registers new herbicides and when existing herbicides come up for registration review. Also this morning, we here at Western Ag Network would just like to share our condolences with the team at Drovers and Farm Journal with the unexpected passing of Drovers editorial director Greg Henderson. Henderson passed away on August 16th and leaves behind a legacy in agriculture media and significant contributions to advance beef production during his 40 years of dedication and service to the beef industry. Our thoughts are with Greg Henderson's family and the team at Drovers and Farm Journal. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right. Oh, let me see. This is kind of a random one for you here, but an important one. This was in the Unleash. I was trying to clear up my show prep here, and this was something I had on my desk yesterday or the day before from the Unleash Prosperity Hotline, from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Check out these numbers. And this is according to Pew. Pew is this kind of, left-leaning kind of think tanky. They like to poll Americans, see what Americans think on the issues type of an outfit. Only one in five Americans trust the government to do the right thing. Somebody asked the question, I don't know if John Jackson was in here when I saw this headline, but they're like, who are these one in five Americans? Oh, we know who these one in five Americans are. They're the people that will support Joe Biden no matter what. They will support Kamala Harris no matter what. They will support John Tester no matter what. These are the people that they do not care how bad things get. They will still trust the government to do the right thing. They will still support Joe Biden and Kamala and John Tester and the crew. Yeah, according to Pew, as of April 2024, 22% of Americans say they trust the government in Washington to do what is right just about always or most of the time. My goodness. Oh, man. Who are these people? Oh, you know who these people are. Yeah, you know who they are. They're the people that are still wearing masks. They're the people that are flying the Palestinian flag out there, or worse yet, the Hamas flag. Yeah, you know exactly who these people are. They were the defund the police crowd. They're the people with the transgender black line flag. Check any kind of box you want to check, and that's exactly who these people are. But as for the rest of them, okay, if only one in five trust the government to do the right thing, then at least two or three of those other people still vote for bigger government. Why do you keep voting for bigger government and bigger government politicians if you don't trust government to do the right thing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. All right, what about the DNC coverage from last night? We had a kid's birthday party, great time, great people. So I, you know, did not sit there watching all of the convention coverage, but I'm sure we're going to get another dong, and you know, we'll get a report here from the DNC coverage last night in Chicago here in about 30, 40 seconds or so. But man, Tim Walz, this phony, stolen valor governor of Minnesota, did you hear about how he took a shot at President Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance? J.D. Vance grew up in poverty, grew up in absolute poverty. He joined the Marine Corps. He actually served in Iraq, unlike this phony, stolen valor candidate, Tim Walz. And Tim Walz takes a shot at him for overcoming poverty and going to Yale. Stolen Valor calls it the honor of a lifetime. The honor of a lifetime. Oh, that Z, why is that Z3 back in there again? We got a couple of things that are still in our lock. All right, inside baseball, folks. Sorry about that. Yeah, we, Travis, did you notice that there's still like that Z3? And I don't know why that's in there. But anyway, back to it. Tim Walz, Mr. Stolen Valor guy. Where was it here? Let me see. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's a very short soundbite. Here is Mr. Stolen Valor, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, saying this in his attack on Ohio Senator J.D. Vance.
I had 24 kids in my high school class, and none of them went to Yale.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I guess it's a bad thing. If you grow up in poverty and you're able to escape poverty and overcome that, and you serve your country as a United States Marine, and then you're able to go to, you know, what used to be a prestigious university like Yale, they're saying that's a bad thing. This guy who went on how many communist Chinese-funded trips to China thinks that something that is quintessentially American, being able to rise up out of poverty through your own work and your own merit, that there's something bad about that. I think this is J.D. Vance responding yesterday on Fox Business.
Well, what did you think about his comment, you going to Yale, so, you know, calling you basically Mr. Fancy Pants Ivy League?
Well, as you guys know, I grew up in a very poor family. I was raised by a grandmother who didn't graduate from high school, much less from college. And I'm proud of the fact that she really worked her tail off, that she, you know, went to her grave fighting to give me opportunities. I'm not ashamed of the fact that my grandmother sacrificed for me and I was able to live the American dream. I'm proud of what I accomplished. And more importantly, I'm proud of all the people who sacrificed in order to give me a better life. I would think Tim Walz would want to praise people who sacrifice to give their children and grandchildren a better life, not put me down. But I guess this is the political order of the day. He's going to attack me. That's fine.
All right. Yeah, great response there by J.D. Vance. You know, just painful to see what the Democrat Party has turned into with these characters like Tim Walz. But man, pain. Talk about pain. I know some of you are feeling it right now. You get out of bed because you can't lay there any longer because of the pain. Maybe it's pain in your back. Maybe it's pain in your hips, joint pain. You know what it's like. Well, here's the thing. I know what you're doing. You're sitting there. You're laying there, and you've just been dealing with it because you don't want to get surgery, and you don't want to get stuck on those painkiller drugs. You don't want to get addicted to that kind of stuff, and you just don't like the way you feel on them anyway. Well, let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They specialize in regenerative medicine where they can get you over the pain the natural way, with your body's own healing properties. You can call them today. They've got a clinic in Montana. Call QC Kinetics for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. That's QC Kinetics for a free consultation.
Montana State News Network.
Good morning, I'm Dennis Bragg. There's still no sign of that missing hiker who vanished on the west side of Glacier National Park when he was separated from his party. Park spokeswoman Autumn Sofuentes says Grant Marcuccio is from Whitefish.
Marcuccio separated from his party while hiking from Heaven's Peak to McPartland Peak. He was last seen heading toward McPartland. Marcuccio did not arrive to the rendezvous spot as planned.
and now we're learning he's been overdue since Sunday evening. The governor's housing task force is forwarding a new list of 23 recommendations to try and tackle Montana's growing problem with affordable and available housing. The recommendations were delivered to Governor Gianforte and Helena and include proposals to streamline processes to construct new housing, trying to clarify roles and responsibilities between fire marshals and the enforcement of building codes, and to set what are being characterized as reasonable limits on local impact fees. There's some thinking at the state level that's driving up housing costs, although local governments would be expected to push back on those ideas. In the third report of this task force, whatever the outcome, the panel says it will take bipartisan and collaboration with the housing industry to make changes. Some of the discussion around housing are the ties to finding and retaining workers, and the latest numbers reveal Montana's job market remains very competitive.
Montana's unemployment rate is holding steady at 3.1%. The Department of Labor and Industry says that Montana's jobless rate stayed the same in July despite an increase at the national level. It has remained under 3.4% for the past 37 months. More than 1,500 people were added to Montana's labor force last month, taking the total number to more than 580,000. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
It's the 37th consecutive month that those numbers have been under that 3.4% threshold.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app or visit montanastatenews.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
With
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have David Noble in the house here in the early morning hours of the show. You ready? Can you hear me there on the microphone? Oh, you know what? I got my app playing. Okay, let me turn. He's like, oh, man, I'm hearing. Yeah, I turned on the app because I want to hear that Montana State News Network update when I go fill up my coffee during the break. I can't miss anything.
Yeah, no, I was up early this morning, and I'm texting Aaron Flint. I'm like, hey, Aaron, can I come in early? We got a lot to talk about.
I got a
woke update that you won't believe. I've got a letter from Tim Sheehy. I've got lots to talk about here.
Man, yeah, the woke up. Let's save the woke update for the 7 right. o'clock, because some right. people may not wake up till 7,
right.
and they love the woke update. But I think Tim and Savage, I think, sent me, I think it's the same story. I'm not sure. So, but it's hilarious. I mean, the headline alone is like, what in the world? What are they saying is gay now? Wait till you hear this one. Let's see. Man, I got a lot. Where do you want to start, David? You got up early to join us here. So where do you want to start? I'll let you take it.
Well, I mean, Tim, I got a letter from Tim Sheehy, basically, that was to most of the central committee members in the state, and he said, go ahead and share it. It's a really, really good letter. It basically clarifies all of the lies and that the Democrats have been telling about Tim Sheehy. And he explains the truth behind all of these things, including his position on public lands. You know, the whole public land things is one of my pet peeves, because as a conservationist, which, let's be real, most of us conservatives, we're conservationists. We believe in conserving our forests and our national forests and everything else like that. Now, we want them to be managed properly. We don't want them, you know, somebody had made the comment, I don't know, maybe it was on your show, that they had said, you know, we burned up a lot more 2x4s than we cut last year. I think that was Ryan Zinke that said that. I was like, you know, that's a really good point. We burn in forest fires more 2x4s then we cut. You know, and so, but every single Republican in Montana that's run for a statewide office in the last 20 years, the Democrats have said that they want to sell off our public lands. They want to sell Yellowstone National. I mean, seriously, isn't it every Republican that they put that attack against?
Oh, yeah. It's the shrieking and shrilling, you know, public lands in public hands.
Right.
Public lands. It's like the same people that are protesting against, you know, Coal Strip or protesting against the White Sulphur Springs mine or protesting against your gun rights. This is another one of their little, oh, what T-shirt do we wear today? Oh, today is our public lands and public hands. And it's like, nobody is taking away public lands.
Except for Democrats who are closing all the roads down. You know what's one of my most annoying things is, like, when I want to go out and enjoy our national forest and I want to go out and spend some time in the woods, and you go out there and they've got the roads locked in and closed down because the Democrats don't want humans to be able to use the land. They think of humans as a problem. They want to reduce population.
Well, it's the radical environmental groups that are always trying to shut off access. And it was kind of interesting because I think it was so funny because former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, who is such a hypocrite in so many ways, he now runs a dark money organization after, you know, spending 8 years campaigning as the guy who despises dark money. And now he runs a dark money group. But he actually sold public lands. He actually sold public lands from being in the public hands to being in private hands when he was governor. And it was just so comical because when it was happening, you know, the media never made a big deal out of it. But, you know, those of us who were having some fun with it on Twitter were like, he just sold public lands to put them in private hands. And you guys were always shrieking and shrilling about this. Your boy just did this. And they're like, well, that doesn't really count because, you know, get out of here.
Right. Well, and if they're not doing that, then they're getting rid of the cattle leases and instead leasing it to the bison APR people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or changing the rules on how the leases are done.
Well, and I think because I meant to print it up. I don't know if it might be in my stack of stuff. But this letter where you talk about how Tim Sheehy talks about his position on public lands. Yeah, you've got it right there. Here's the thing. What he talks about is more state management, more state decision making in public lands. That's something most Montanans agree on. And case in point, you've probably heard of the Good Neighbor Authority agreements. So the Good Neighbor Authority agreements, they've got, you know, pretty strong support out there. But these are being executed as we speak, where basically you've got federal land, but the state ends up can manage these lands under Good Neighbor Authority agreements. And that's helped us to actually, you talk about cutting 2x4s instead of burning 2x4s. That's what has allowed us to do that on federal lands, because under the Good Neighbor Authority agreements, there's still federal land, still so-called public lands, but under a state kind of management authority. Then when the state goes in, we can actually, you know, harvest some of that timber and prevent some of these fires. Because it's state managed, that removes it from the federal courts, which removes it from the liberal federal judges. And then that's how we've been able to do these projects. So that's a case in point of where Republican philosophy is driving a better outcome.
For sure. And you could do the same thing with the grizzly bear population and with the wolf population. I mean, I actually have a friend in Columbus who lives in Columbus who sent me a video yesterday of grizzly bears near Columbus, Montana. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
like these grizzly bears are getting totally out of control. And the Democrats, John Tester, the Biden Harris, they will not delist the grizzly bear. They will not allow the states to manage it. And so we've got some punks in D.C., in Washington, D.C., on the East Coast, telling us that we can't manage our grizzly bear population. Meanwhile, we're getting mauled and killed by grizzlies all the time.
It's crazy. It's, you know, it's the state has proven that the grizzly population is flourishing. I mean, even prominent wildlife advocates like Jack Hanna have said, several years ago he said that they don't need to be listed anymore. But the radical environmentalists are the ones who call the shots in the Biden, Kamala, Tester regime. So they're calling the shots here because back to your point about the American Prairie Reserve, They don't want you here. So they use the APR to kick you off the land, to make it harder for you to do agribusiness on the land.
And then they put a bunch of grizzlies and wolves.
Increase the predators.
Against your herd, your cattle herd.
Oh, yeah. 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 Crazy all
then,
around.
And then what happens is when a grizzly or a wolf kills a cattle rancher's cow, and they go and they submit a claim on a policy or a program at the FSA, the FSA demands documentation that you wouldn't believe. Actually, I remember Senator Daines had actually written a letter to the FSA a couple of years ago saying, would you guys stop requiring all this absurd documentation for, I mean, people would come in and say, hey, you know, I just had a grizzly kill three of my cows. I've got an FSA policy or there's this program. Can I get compensated? Well, we need to see your vet records. We need to see the vax record. We need to see the preg test records. We need to see your journal and logs. We need to see a picture of the carcass. And people are just going, this is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. By the way, Color 8 TV had a headline this morning. This is from a press release from the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 2. An adult male grizzly bear was euthanized last week after four livestock conflicts in the upper Blackfoot Valley over the past month. So this is in the Ovando area where that story comes out of there in particular. Let's see. Have you been watching any of the Democrat National Convention coverage?
So I have.
I listened to a little bit of it while I was, typing up a story for our website the other night. But I actually, instead of watching the DNC, I ended up watching Hillbilly Elegy finally.
Awesome. I want to see that.
The movie version of J.D. Vance's kind of biopic novel. But I got to think, David, here is this stolen valor guy, phony Tim Walz, attacking J.D. Vance for going to Yale. J.D. Vance grew up in poverty, hill country. His family are hillbillies, basically. They self-described hillbillies. His mom overcame drug addiction that's been, a lot of families have had to fight that, right? This guy escaped poverty, serves his country in Iraq as a United States Marine, and then gets into Yale Law School.
Without legacy admissions and without affirmative action.
Yeah, and Tim Walz is attacking that right now, the same Tim Walz who lied about serving in combat. But I just think, you grew up with a good family in Manhattan, Montana, but nonetheless, you went to, the University of Miami Law School, and are we supposed to attack that success now too?
Right.
What the heck?
Yeah. Well, they do attack success.
Oh, they hate success.
Do. Yeah, they hate success. And so whether it's Trump or J.D. Vance or Elon Musk or Tim Sheehy, exactly.
Yeah.
Aaron Flint, David Nolan.
We just got a little old radio show here, No, we're having a great time. All right, let's see. I'm glad David Noble came in early. We'll take a quick break here. Man, that went by fast, didn't it? There's a new montage going after Kamala Harris and her crazy policies that was just released by the Trump campaign. Maybe we'll play that next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
To me, this is the most simple thing imaginable, voting integrity. Why would any one major political party not want proof of citizenship? Because you need proof of citizenship for everything else in life. Think about this, right? I mean, if you have a passport and you travel, okay, you need to show that you are a U.S. citizen. To get that passport, you need something else called a legal driver's license. You know, only a couple of states allow illegal immigrants to get legal driver's licenses. One of them would be the state of Minnesota, where Tim Walz, the VP candidate for the Democrats, are. And does that also allow them perhaps to maybe use that as ID to go and register to vote? I don't know. But proof of citizenship, it's simple.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, protect your home and family. Now, it's a responsibility you cannot take lightly. But starting with deadly force, that should not be your first option, especially given the serious mental, financial, legal consequences that can very well follow. You might want to look at non-lethal force. That's where Byrner comes in. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher designed by a group of common-sense gun owners, and it's used for everyday Americans concerned about their personal safety and security. Now, the Byrner pistol launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic rounds, so the Byrner launcher can incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, that's enough time to ensure your family's safety. The Byrner launcher is legal in all 50 states. You can ship directly to your door. It's time to join the growing movement. And they always put safety first. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off. Watch their videos, byrna.com/Hannity, 10% off. And make the smart choice for you and your family and your safety today.
And I approve this message. Join my team. Give today. Visit SheheVictory.com to donate. Paid for by Sheehy Victory Committee.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, there we go. Actually, David asked a really good question during the break here. So,
yeah, we might as well talk about it.
Yeah, David asked a really good question during the break here. So, you know, you had Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. You had House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. You had Jim Jordan, Chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Congressman Ryan Zinke brought all these guys to town right after the big Trump rally in Bozeman. And had the Trump rally not taken place, would have had a much bigger turnout at a lot of those events as well. But David asked a good question, which is, Is Zinke worried about his race? Is Troy Downing worried about his race? Is that why all these big, you know, big leaders in the GOP came to town? And the response that I wasn't able to give you yet, because then we ended up BSing about 50 other things, was that these guys also came to town not just because of the importance of the Western Congressional District race in itself. Because remember, the Democrats gerrymandered that seat in hopes that they could win the West, right? The Eastern Montana seat's very safe Republican, but the Democrats gerrymandered the West in hopes that they could win. And then they still got beat by Zinke. I think they're going to get beat by Zinke even bigger this time around. But also, I think the other reason why they came, David, is to be a supporting effort in the U.S. Senate race, because they know, right, I mean, right now that the House has actually gotten things done. The House has actually delivered. They delivered H.R. 2 on immigration and border security. But the Senate is what's killing this country right now. And so I see their visits as a big supporting effort to the importance of the Senate race as well.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And you know, yeah, that with how close that Western District is. I mean, I always kind of thought that, OK, I was frankly impressed with Zinke's win the first time, you know, because it was an open seat and everything like that. And then now with him being the incumbent, with him having done a good job, et cetera, I was kind of like, he should have a. And then running against Monica Tranell again, who's sort of a radical, already lost. I'm kind of thinking like, man, Zinke and Downing should have these two wrapped
up. They
should
be good.
But
yeah.
Then like the RS.
But you can't take it for granted.
No, you can't take it for granted, I guess, too. But and so we gotta definitely, you know, do everything we can on those. But yeah, it's still just kind of an interesting, like, wow, why are these House guys coming here on to these Montana House races? But I think that makes sense when you bring in the Senate and bring in everything else.
Well, and then fundraising too, not just for these individual races, but also for fundraising for just congressional races across the country. Alone, so it's a big deal. Let me play the Kamala montage. This is the newest Kamala montage released by the Trump War Room. They actually set up a website, Kamala2024policies.com, and you'll see this video.
Yeah, I am radical. You need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously. As President of the United States, I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a bill. There's no question I'm in favor of banning that. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of them. But would you support changing the dietary guidelines? Yes. You know, the food pyramid. But people yes. Reduce red meat specifically. Yes, I would.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Where do you stand on defund the police?
This whole movement is about rightly saying we need to take a look at these budgets.
Harris asserted that ISIS perceived as the modern day Ku Klux Klan.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no.
Are you aware that there's a
that
perception?
That puts ISIS in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me? I see no parallel.
I'm not thinking.
I see none.
am radical. We need to get radical about what we are doing.
David, she's not finished. She not finished.
No.
She is just getting started there, in her own words. That's all we got to do is roll the tape of what she actually has said.
Right. Just like all we got to do with John Tester is show the voting record.
That's exactly right. Which is why so many in the Montana media never want to talk about how he actually votes, right? Okay, quick break here. We'll get to your Fox News update at the top of the hour. David's got a wacky woke update for us here on this Thursday. Isn't it great? It's already Thursday.